We're in the book of Job, and last week we started a voyage between chapters 32 through 34, looking at a guy by the name of Elihu. Who? Elihu. We have no idea who he is. And so we talked quite a bit about that last week, how some would say that he could be Balaam. Some thought that maybe he might be related to Abraham. Others said that it's a Christophany. It's a picture of Jesus. And by the time we finished, we were pretty certain, absolutely positively certain, that it's not Jesus. And you can get the tape and figure out why. But one of the things that we looked at, and I wanted to go back and iron a few wrinkles out, not even wrinkles, I wanted to go back and remind you of a few things. And as we were looking at chapter 33, Elihu says in verse 6, he says, "Truly I am your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay." And Elihu puts himself as a mediator between God and Job. And I said, wow, that's a really scary place to be. And we looked at the scriptures that says there's only one who is a mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ, the man. And one of the things I said was, how does God speak to us? He's saying that he's a mediator. How does God speak to us? And instantly we had people say, through his spirit, through his word. And I pointed back to Hebrews chapter 1. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we read this: "God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." And I camped there for a while because I wanted to really show who Elihu wasn't. He's not Jesus. But I want to remind us, and the Lord just put on my heart to remind us that God speaks to us in a variety of different ways. And so today, we're going to just iron a few things. I've got a lot of scripture that we'll be going through, so you can take out your pen if you don't have one. I'll loan this one out. And we're just going to go through, what does the Word say about how the Father, how the Spirit, how the Son, how this works out, how God speaks to us. Because I think it's important. And at the end, I've got two questions I want to ask you. So firstly, we see that in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Isn't it amazing how the word of God can deal with us strictly on us? There are times when I've been praying, "Lord, would you just show me, is this me or is this you?" Anyone ever been there? Is this me or you? And it says his word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It separates the soul and the spirit. So if it's of me or if it's of God, the word is going to do that. And the word is living. It's powerful. It's alive. It's God-breathed. And then he says in 2 Peter, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And then he says in 2 Timothy 3, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." We see that the word of God is spiritually given, it's spiritually discerned, and it's there to be an instruction for life for us. We're going to see that the word of God speaks both of the written word as well as the living word. We see in John 1:1 where he says, "In the beginning was the word." And so when it deals with us specifically, we see instruction in righteousness. I like 2 Timothy because it tells us that it's given or it's profitable for doctrine. And I think of the highway of doctrine. These are teachings for the believer. But there are times when it's kind of like, have you ever been doing something, all of a sudden you're distracted, and the next thing you know, you're in the wrong lane? Don't drive by me. But sometimes I might find myself drifting, and it says that The scripture is there for doctrine, but it's for reproof. And reproof would be the big sign that says, wrong way. You ever seen those signs? Have you seen them up close? Hopefully not. But so it's a reproof to let you know you're an error. It's not to beat you up. It's to let you know you're an error, but it's for correction. Because once you know that you're an error, well, what do I do? How do I change? And God's word is able to actually turn us and correct us to what's right. And then he goes on to say, and it's also for instruction in righteousness to keep us on the right path. So when we're on the path and we deviate, boom, David, you're going the wrong way. But let me help you correct you by showing you in the word. And then finally, now that you're on the right path, let's keep you in the word. Let's keep you on the right path. And so when you're counseling someone, or you, this is such a great manual, Emmanuel, God with us. It even says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. It's for direction and instruction. I don't always know where to go. And God's word enlightens me and directs me. God speaks to us through his written word, but he speaks to us through his living word. His written word a lot of times points to me, how I need to grow. But when I look at what the Son says, the Son speaks of life. Don't ever forget that. When you're talking about Jesus, you have to remember that he who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son does not have. It's all about eternal life. John says, I wrote this that you would believe, and in believing you would have eternal life. And so it says here in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or could not overcome it or could not overpower it. Jesus came to give life, and life abundantly. Life abundantly. He desires us to thrive, not just survive. And that's not just a name and claim it spiel. I really believe he wants us to grow from glory to glory to glory. He wants us to mature. That's what he said about Job in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He said Job was a perfect man. A perfect man. Meaning that Job wasn't like squeaky clean, was sinless. The word means he was a mature man. I like reading in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says this. You might hear me quote it from time to time. But in chapter 4, he says, he gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here we go. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to grow. And so Jesus gives us life. It tells us in Hebrews, like I said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. His Son has come and says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the express image. I am the very express image of the invisible God. How long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Even Peter recognized it when he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For only you have the words that pertain to life. Don't forget life. Sometimes we can be sharing with people about change and transformation. We lose the whole concept of life. And then God speaks us through his written word, through his living word. But then Jesus said, it's good that I leave. Because if I leave, the Father will send the helper, the Paracletus, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he says this concerning the Holy Spirit. When Jesus says something about the Holy Spirit, it's like E.F. Hutton. When Jesus speaks, I know you guys have TVs. I know you know. That's an old commercial, but. So he says in John 14, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you the remembrance all things that I've said to you. The thing that the Holy Spirit is there is to help us, to teach us, and to bring to remembrance everything about Jesus. He's always fixing our eyes on Jesus. The Holy Spirit's there, and he's powerful, but he's always there pointing us back to Jesus. And then Jesus goes on to say in John 16, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is all about empowering the believer to talk and preach and to witness about Jesus, about life, because life is in the Son. We can get sometimes upside down about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, I think of, do you remember the story of Abraham finding a bride for his son? And he sent the unnamed servants who would go and find a bride for his son. And this bride would leave what she knew to go to find the son away and leave her homeland. And really, it's a picture of the Father sending his Spirit here to find a bride for his son. And that we would leave what we know, that we would go and we would spend eternity with Jesus. I love that. And so the Holy Spirit is really powerful, but he's a gentleman. And he always points and declares about Jesus. Don't ever forget that. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon a small band of believers, and the church is born. It's Pentecost, and we talked a lot about Pentecost a couple of weeks ago, but Peter, after this pouring out of the Spirit, after people started speaking in different languages, and thousands of people coming and going, what's going on? They heard this whirlwind, they hear these different languages, and then finally Peter says, he tells them what's going on, he says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my men servants and all my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So if the Holy Spirit talks about Jesus and reminds us of things that Jesus said, what do you think they're prophesying about? Go ahead and say it. Jesus. It's a Sunday school answer. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Jesus. And so here they are. He says the Holy Spirit is being poured out, and it's declaring the wonderful things of God. What I like about that is that the Holy Spirit wants to get through to people, and he will speak about Jesus. I can remember one time being, how old are you, Matt? 25. I was about 25. How'd you like that? I was about Matt's age, and I was serving in Sunday school. Have you ever served in Sunday school before, Matt?
No.
Great. We have a sign-up sheet in the back. That was a joke. That's next week. At any rate, Donya and I were serving in the Sunday school, and we were serving the kids, and there was a really shy young man. And I can remember him being baptized, and we had a big baptismal at this fellowship. And the pastor said, I want everyone to come on up. He's sitting in the tub, and I want us to pray for him. And if the Lord gives someone a word for the child, let's do that. And the Lord, without a doubt, said to my heart, you prophesy that he's going to be a bold man of God. And this kid is like Mr. Shy Guy. I mean, always quiet and timid. And I was just really giving my life to the Lord when I met my wife. The Spirit was really working, and I just thought, gosh, is that me? Is that, I don't know, should I say something? Should I not say something? And you know what? I said nothing. But the man right next to me said verbatim the word the Lord gave me and said, Father, I just prophesy in the name of Jesus that this man is going to be a powerful man of God, a bold witness. And I just thought, oh my goodness. And the Lord said, you'll get another chance. Maybe not like that, but he encouraged me that he's active. If I wasn't going to say something, he used a willing vessel. And that's the key word, willing vessel. And God desires to use willing vessels. I had a whole bunch of notes, and for some reason, they all vanished. But that's okay. That's okay. I've just got random verses today. But my God is able. And so God wants to use willing vessels. And that vessel is you. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was hungry. Peter's on top of the roof. He's fasting and praying and meditating. At the same time, maybe a couple days earlier, a man by the name of Cornelius, a Roman, a God-fearer, was doing the same thing. And the Lord spoke to Cornelius and said, you need to go over to Simon's house, Simon the Tanner, and ask for Peter to come and give you a message. Okay, so he sends a dispatch out. Peter, as you remember, is on the rooftop, hungry, and the Lord drops down this big tablecloth of food, and they're unclean animals, and they're alive. And he says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. And the Lord says, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. And three times that has happened. The tablecloth went up, came back down. A second time, not so, Lord. How do you say no and Lord in the same sentence? It's crazy. But he did it. And then finally, the third time, what I call clean, don't call common or unclean. By the way, Gentiles are coming to your house right now. Go with them. And so God was already preparing in Peter's heart. Knock at the door. Peter, it's for you. They look like Roman soldiers. It's for me. And he goes. Cornelius welcomes him, bows down, and Peter says, you know it's illegal for me to be here. I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile. And he says, I was praying, and the Spirit said, or an angel came, call for Peter and to give me a word. And there Peter starts to talk about Jesus. Talking about how God sent his son, how he was mishandled and mistreated, that he was crucified and he died on a cross. And while he was speaking about Jesus, do you know what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on this group of Gentiles. Gentiles. And they all started speaking in tongue. And the Jewish people that went with Peter said, what is going on? The very gift that God bestowed on us is given to the Gentiles. Obviously, God's doing something. Here's the point. Are you ready? God works on both ends. God works on both ends. He prepared Cornelius. He prepared Peter so when Peter would come, the Holy Spirit could come because we had two willing vessels saying, I will send, I will go. And God's word was fulfilled and the Spirit was able to do what he wanted to do. So when God prompts you to talk to somebody, you have to have a little bit of faith that God's already worked on the other end. God's already worked in their heart and said, hey, listen, call for. There's a message for you. And many times we're, oh, I don't know what to say. My notes didn't come up. And God says, enough about you already. Preach the word in season and out of season. Share about life. God loved that he sent his son, that whoever believed would have life, eternal life. I love that about Acts 10, watching how the Lord moving and speaking and talking to people. The Lord, he spoke to Pharaoh with 10 plagues. But Pharaoh wasn't listening, neither was he willing. The Lord spoke to Pilate through a dream that his wife had about this Jesus. But Pilate didn't listen, nor was he willing. I think of Elijah. Do you remember Elijah? There standing in a cave because Jezebel wants his hide. He ran, he hid. He heard the fury of a woman and he just tucked-tailed and ran. And then the Lord said, Elijah. And he comes to the mouth of the cave and it says that a wind went by, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then a fire went by, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. An earthquake happened, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then it was a still small voice, and he spoke to Elijah. How many of you heard that still small voice in your life? But can I tell you something? God speaks in fire and in whirlwind. As we're reading here in chapter 8, listen to chapter 8 of Job. I'm going to read the first verse. And then then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. God spoke to Job through the wind. In Acts, we see that the Philippian jailer heard from God through an earthquake, where Paul and Silas would be set free, and God spoke to the jailer, and the jailer and his whole household got saved. God spoke to Moses through the fire of the burning bush. And so God will choose different things to speak to you if you're willing to listen, if you're a willing vessel that God can use. God is speaking. The question I have is, am I listening? Am I listening to him speaking? Sometimes it's got to be tuned into this channel, and I have to hear it this way, and it's got to be like this, or I don't hear it. And sometimes it's like that. Right now, through the air, is classical music going on. Can you hear it? Can you hear the rock and roll music or the jazz as it plays through the radio waves? It's there. You have to tune it in. Are we listening to what the Lord would have to say to us today? I want to step back again, and I'm going to camp here in Ephesians for a little bit. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That happens to be one of my life verses. This was the verse that the Lord used to bring me here. It was so funny. Did anyone remember Alicia Glauser, Pastor Ted's wife? That was the verse the Lord used for Ted as he came here. But verse 21 says, to him, who? To this one that gives exceedingly abundantly. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God's glory is seen in his people, in the church. Many of us want to see the glory on the mountaintop. Many of us want to see the glory maybe in the sunsets or in the sunrise, but you know what? God's glory is seen here in the church. And God desires to move through the body of people to display his glory in your life. Many times we ask, why, Lord, is this happening to me? And it's almost like kids say, well, why not? As we look at Pharaoh and these plague after plague after plague, it was there, why? That God would show his glory, that God would show there is a God in Israel. And God wanted to show that. Do you remember, what's his name? Naaman with the leprosy. That God would say, there's a prophet in Israel and he's going to heal Naaman. God desired to show his glory and he uses his people. How, you might ask? He gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Each one of you, God has given a gift to. Why? Because God's speaking. Are we listening? God's speaking, and he wants to use his people that his glory would be revealed to the world. Paul says in Corinthians chapter 14, Paul really wanted to, after writing chapter 12 and chapter 13, chapter 14, he really wanted to iron out all of the differences between tongues and prophecy, because he thought maybe those would be the two gifts that would be the confusing for people. And here in 2019, they're probably the two gifts that are most confusing to people. But this is what he says. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you should prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. God desires to use people to exercise, whether it's prophecy or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, to speak. So God is speaking. Are we listening? God's moving. Are you speaking? How many of you had an opportunity this week to share with somebody but didn't? How many of you had an opportunity to share this week to somebody and you did? How many of you will not raise your hand no matter what I ask? It's what I thought. So here I am trying to do some work yesterday, and this guy next to me wants to argue about the Bible. I've got my Bible out. I'm working on my computer. That was crazy. And after a while, I recognized that I was just casting pearls before an unbeliever. Well, we can call them swine, but I was going to be. But all that to say, I thanked him for the conversation, and I politely cast my gaze back to my Bible and tried not to listen to him anymore because he was just rambling. And in the middle of me reading, the Lord said, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Is to share people the wonderful things of God, whether they believe you or not? Aren't you preparing that I have worked on both sides of the equation? I've prepared you and I prepared him for such a time as this. Why? Well, because I've got an important message to give tomorrow. I can't even find my notes. So I stopped and I said, okay, I'll answer your question with a question because I see Jesus doing that. And I asked him a great question, and he looked at me and thanked me, wrote that question down, and he was done. I said, hallelujah, man. But I got an opportunity to share about the Lord. And so many times we just get afraid, or we're, you know, opportunity sometimes disguises itself as inconvenience, doesn't it? Man, I don't have time for this right now. I can remember my good friend. He was a plumber, and he probably still is. And he was working on a house, and he saw a cross, and the gal showed him what was going on with the sink and whatnot, blah, 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 blah. And she left, and he saw there was a cross and a Bible, and he was there all day. And she was polite. At the end of the day, he says, well, we're all done. Sink works, no leaks. I got a question for you. Are you a Christian? And she goes, I am. Are you? He goes, I am, but I'm curious. At what point did you think that I was unworthy to hear about the gospel? I know. And I said, Ken, you really said that? Yeah, after he got paid. And he did what you don't do. He made the girl cry. And she said, I'm so sorry. He goes, no. He goes, you're not the first. But this is one of the things that I get to do, is remind people you don't know who you're talking to. They may not know. And God's already prepared something in your life to share. Just share. Can't we trust the Holy Spirit with a little? How about with some loaves and fish and watch him feed the multitude? Yesterday, as I was at Lake El Estero with the homeless, we've been going through the Beatitudes. And so I've been doing a couple Beatitudes every day. And I'd like to share with you just a minute before we leave what we talked about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I spent a week talking about this one Saturday, and I said, these are all pointing inside. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're so blessed when you recognize that you're broken and that spiritually you're bankrupt. Jesus, you're blessed because there are many people who don't even recognize it. That was a gift that God showed you. And blessed are those who mourn for it. Man, Lord, I am broken and I don't know. It hurts me that I'm broken. And I told the homeless, you know, some people are just fine being weird and they're happy being weird. But Jesus says you're blessed if you mourn over the sin and you mourn over your spiritual depravity. And blessed are the meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under restraint. It's another way that we can say submission. And when we can say, I can't even fix myself, I need to turn to someone else. And then the following week I said, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The first week I looked at the first three and looked at myself. I'm broken. I am mourning and I can't even fix myself. But then I turn my eyes to Jesus and I am hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And then when I receive his righteousness, three things come directly through me. He says this, are you ready? He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And I say, what starts to flow through us is mercy and purity and peace. As we just turn to Jesus, he gives us mercy and we're blessed for it. He purifies us, he cleanses us. As I told the homeless, God catches his fish before he cleans his fish. And then there's peace in our life. And then finally, I had to say I said, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And I said, you know, many of us are sitting here saying, I didn't sign up for persecution. I wanted the blessing. That my life was persecution. But he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. Why? Why? Open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 5 and read with me. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, 15, and 16. We're rounding third base. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I said, ladies and gentlemen, are we just Sunday Christians when times are good and we lose our savor when times get tough? Jesus doesn't want that. He says, you are the salt and the savor and flavor of heaven. But then he goes on to say, and you are the light of the world. He didn't say that I am at this point. He does elsewhere. But here he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He said that to his disciples, those that were listening, those that were following him, you're the light of the world. Here's the thing. This is what I said to the homeless, and this is what I'm saying to you. Right now, we call this a homeless crisis in Monterey. In Santa Cruz, San Diego, Seattle, San Francisco, New York. It's a national crisis. It's in every paper. It's in every talk show, everything. It's a crisis. I said, you guys have got the platform. You are now the light of the world. What message are you giving the world? Christian, You are the light of the world. You are the light. You are to be put on a lampstand and you are to shine. I love how he says that. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Shine. Stand up and shine. Shine a light. What if they don't like me? What if they don't like the message? Let not the soldier of the cross be dismayed because of the fiery darts of the wicked one are hurled against him. Rather, let him gird on more firmly the divine provided armor. Let not the child of God become discouraged because his efforts to please Christ make some of those who call themselves Christians speak evil of him. Let not the Christian imagine that the fiery trials are an evidence of God's disapproval. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Share and shine. Share and shine. God's speaking, am I listening? God's moving, now am I speaking? Those are the two questions I want to leave you today. God speaks to us in a variety of ways, and he's chosen to use you.